Okay, so for the in today's shiur, the plan is to finish the Hakdama and to really focus and then move on to the next sugya about whether Kriya Shema is Daraisa or Darabanan, but to finish up the Hakdama, right? Yesterday, or I should say on Friday, Erev Shabbos, we developed what we call the second approach of the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim approach. I realize the essence of Mitzvah's Kriya Shema is that through reciting the Pesukim of Kriya Shema, you are Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. So a lot of evidence for that in both Mishnayos, Gemaras, Rishonim. Today I'd like to really take a step back and analyze what exactly is the Geder of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Right, literally, What does Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim literally mean, like in English? How would you translate it?
Accepting
the yoke of heaven, which is a phrase we've heard since we're little. Right? Fourth grade? Okay, to be specific, at least for Ben, where did you go to middle school?
Y&J.
Y&J, okay, so Y&J is fourth grade. Other people might have other grades. But either way, this idea of accepting the yoke of heaven is a pretty, you know, widespread concept. The question is, what does that mean, the yoke of heaven? Number one, what is Malchus Shemayim referring to? What's the yoke referring to? What's the connotation of all of these different phrases? So let's start off by discussing the Geder of Malchus Shemayim. What exactly is the belief that is the focus of Shema and Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim? So we're going to see that there seem to be two different Mahalachim in the Rishonim. The first Mahalach is adopted by the Ramban. Anybody pick up in the Ramban, Al Torah and Shemos? What belief does the Ramban connect to Malchus Shemayim? What pasuk is he commenting on? Oh, so Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What is that referring to? The mitzvah of to believe in Hashem. So the first mahalach adopted by the Ramban is that the focus of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim is emuna b'Hashem. That by saying Shema, we are accepting Hashem as our God. According to this, again, if you look at the text of the pasuk of Shema, there are really two phrases you can focus on. Right? There's Shema Yisrael, that's the intro, right? Listen, Kal Yisrael. There's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God, and then the other phrase is Hashem Echad. So the big question is going to be, which of those two phrases is the Iker? So according to the Ramban, the Iker phrase is which one? Hashem Elokeinu. So according to the first Mahalach of the Ramban, the focus of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim is really Hashem Elokeinu, is the belief that Hashem is our God. So let's little look at the Ramban in Pirush Al Torah. Anybody have the Ramban with them? No one brought the Ramban? So the Chevra should try to bring Svarim to Shir, just so we have more people to read it. Oh, you have it? Oh, thank you. Thank you, David. So again, this is commenting on the pasuk of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So go for it. Oh, that's right. So Ramban, right, Lishitaso, to Sefer Mitzvos says, right, that there is a Anochi Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah asay to believe in God. Right, this is interesting. There's a lashon of yediyah. There's a lashon of emuna. Not for now. I'm sure on this, but not for now. Either way, fine to believe that Hashem and to know that Hashem is God. Right, so again, God always existed, that everything in the world exists because of Him. And there's a key line also. Oh, and then he adds, not only is it believing in God, but a consequence of believing in God, and therefore, once you believe in God, you therefore have to serve Him by following all His mitzvahs. This is a very important nekuda. We're going to see the Ramban does this repeatedly. That the Ramban integrates within the mitzvah of believing in God, within Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, which is that emunah b'Hashem, within that is therefore the responsibility, the obligation to keep all the mitzvahs. So in our language, the Ramban integrates Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs, the obligation to keep the mitzvahs, into Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's going to be very important nekuda, especially for the next sugya. So let's continue on with the same thing. The next piece, Zir Masav Talmi Beis Avadim. David, the Ramban is going to repeat this. Oh, right? As a ketam, sorry, finish the line. Ketam. So the Rebbe explained why is the Torah? Why does Hashem, you know, speak about the fact that I took you out of Mitzrayim? So the Ramban says beautifully, because that's part of the reason why we now have to serve him. Because he's the one who redeemed us from Avdus Leparo. So now we have to be Ovdei Hashem. Because he's the one who took us out of in the state of Avdus Leparo. So now instead of being Avadim Leparo, we're now Avadim to Hashem. So that's why, because the Ramban says this theme that within the mitzvah of Amunah is this requirement of keeping the mitzvos, that's why there's reference to Mitzrayim, because that's sort of the basis of our obligation to keep all the mitzvos. Go to the next line, this is very important. Vizuha mitzvah tikra, this is really important. Very important. So Ramban says the concept of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, and he's referencing, right, in Yonik Kriyashma, you know, Brachos Yud Gimel Amabez, right? Right? The Inyan of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, which is the idea of Kriyashma, says Raman, is connected to this idea of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? Is connected to this theme of this mitzvah of Emunah Ba Hashem, right? So again, the Ramban is clearly adopting this first approach of the Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, that Malchus Shemayim is about Emunah Ba Hashem, and that's why the Ramban specifically references this notion of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim specifically within the context of Emunah Ba Hashem. And then the end of the piece, again, he just repeats this idea of the Kabbalas O Mitzvos again, which is Kishikibalta Malchusai Kiblu Gzeirosai. Once you accept Emunah Ba Hashem, then the Mela, you have to then accept Gzeirosai Kabbalas O Mitzvos. Kolomer, Akhre Sha'atem Mekabla Malechem, Emodim Sha'ani Hashem, Vani Elokechem, Meret Yisrayim, Kiblu Kol Mitzvosai. So again, the Ramban three or four times throughout these pieces, again, says that part of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, part of Emunah Ba Hashem, is the consequence of that, which is Kabbalas O Mitzvos, which is a very important ha'ara. Okay? So this is approach number one, that Malchus Shemayim is referring to Emunah Ba Hashem. But there is another mahalach that seems to be even more prominent amongst in the Gemara and Rishonim. And that is that the focus is not on the phrase of Hashem Elokeinu, but rather on which phrase? Hashem Echad. What do we call that? What do the Chacham call that? Yichud Hashem. So second mahalach is that Malchus Shemayim is less focused on Emunah Bashem and more focused on the factor of Yichud Hashem, this belief that there is one, is only one God. So the first indication of this actually comes from a Gemara. Which Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, but seems to imply that the Geder of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim is this Yesod of Yichud Hashem.
The one that says, you know, you should extend the word
Echad? Exactly. This is a Gemara Yigil Mabez. So everyone, please turn to Yigil Mabez. We've seen this other parts of this Gemara, but now looking at the first, let's say, middle line, because there's like the narrow lines and there's the, you know, in-between lines. So at the end of it, says, the end of the first middle, you know, wide line, says Tanur Rabbanan. So you see, it's not explicit, but the Gemara is going to imply that the Geder of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim, right, is this idea of Yichud Hashem. Tzvi, would you mind? You have it? Oh, okay, no problem. Anybody else have it open? Shai?
Yeah.
Go for it. Yeah. So as Rav Meir say, you only need Kavana for what? For the first pasuk. Presumably, what's the basis of that? Because that's the first pasuk which contains the theme of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. So again, we'll get to this again soon. But Shita's Rav Meir is that only the first pasuk requires Kavana, presumably because that first pasuk contains the central theme of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Continue. Pasuk like Rav Meir, according to Rav. So there's this inyan lechatchila to extend the word echad. Okay? And they talk about, the dalet, not the ches, etc., etc. And then you go to Rav Yirmiya. Right, you extended the word echad. So what is he saying? What are you supposed to have in mind when you're extending the word echad? That you're being right. Amlichte lamala lamato arberuchas. What is that basically? What are you having in mind? Specifically, when you say kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, more clear. The yichud Hashem. right? That up, down, that sounds like an Uncle Moshe song, right? Up, down, all around, right? It's all Hashem. And right, again, this the idea of Yichud Hashem. So in this Gemara, when it says that you only need Kavanah for the first Pasuk, presumably because that's what is Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. And then the Gemara right after says, right, what is the Kavanah that you're supposed to have when you're saying that first Pasuk? Yichud Hashem. That Hashem is up, down, Dalad Ruchos. So again, it's implied from this Gemara that the token, that the content of the Kavanah, of what Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim is all about Yichud Hashem. And it's even clearer in the Rashi's.
Why is Hashem not
what?
Hashem?
Again, that's basically, we'll get to the Rahman's formulation soon, but that the one God is everywhere.
Okay.
It's the one of saying, don't think, oh, that direction is one God, Chas v'Shalom, another one is that one. No, it's all God. If you look at Rashi, Shai, is it Dirumaskul, like Ubedalad?
Ubedalad.
Yeah.
A little bit
past.
The Volkan,
exactly. Oh, man, butza barachta. You're not doing anything by saying echa. Oh. All right. So Rashi is again spelling out based on the later Gemara that again, what is the kavanah going to be? It's being miyached the shemayim the aretz the arba ruchusah. And Rashi dir masul da amlichle lamala also spells this out. Sharachta shir. That Hashem echad, b'shemayim v'aretz v'dalid ruchosah. So again, it's implicit from this Gemara that the Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim, which is the subject of that first pasuk in the Kavanah, is all about this notion, this yisod of Yichud Hashem. So the first raya to this idea, the keder of Malach HaShemayim is Yichud Hashem, is this Gemara Yigimel Amid Beis. But and again, just how do you see the Meiri, right, Al-Atar here, makes it very, so it explicates this point, that there's a connection between the Kavanah during Pasuk Rishon and this notion of, let's say, moving your head and having the idea of the Dalad Ruchos all in mind. Right, the Meiri says, Me'acher she'pasuk Rishon tzarech le'kavanah yisira. Once there is this requirement for extra kavanah during Pasuk Rishon, mitzvah lekorei sheyarech ve'echad. Right, connected to that kavanah during the first Pasuk is this inyan lechatchila being marech ve'echad, this notion of Yichud Hashem. So what's implicit in the Gemara, the Meiri really explicates and says, yeah, these two Gemaras are next to each other because they're connected. That the added kavanah that you need for Pasuk Rishon because of Malchus Shemayim, that's all about the Yichud Hashem that you're supposed to have in mind when you're being marech and the word ech. So the Miri just, makes that a little clearer from the Gemara itself. Which Rishon, in several different places, repeatedly highlights that Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim is all about Yichud Hashem? The Rambam. So let's look at the Rambam in three different places. The first place to look is Sefer Mitzvos. Anybody have Sefer Mitzvos here? In Mitzvah Beis, Mitzvah Zasei Beis, so here the Rambam, again, is discussing, right, mitzvah beis. Which mitzvah is the Rambam discussing? Yichud Hashem. So it's very important, again, because mitzvah aleph for the Rambam is what? You can probably guess. I didn't have you see it. Is anochi, right, is belief in Hashem. Mitzvah beis is Yichud Hashem. So it's a great way of figuring out which mitzvah does the Rambam reference Shema Yisrael and the mitzvah of Shema. We're going to see, not a mitzvah aleph like the Ramban presumably would, rather, the Rambam is going to reference the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, where? In Mitzvah Beis, in the context of Yichud Hashem. And we're going to see the Rambam is very much l'shitaso in several different places. Ezra, do you have it? Go for it. Right, so Rambam says it's mitzvah to believe in Yichud Hashem. And what is the makor for that? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Rambam doesn't bring this pasuk as a makor for the belief, for emunah b'Hashem. He rather brings it as a makor for Yichud Hashem, because the Rambam thinks, like in l'shitaso, as we'll see in a moment, that Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim, that the focus of this pasuk is not on the Hashem Elokeinu, but rather on the Hashem Echad. And the Rambam is going to continue. You just skip a line to You see, V'yikru gam kein zos ha-mitzvah. Do you see that toward like the last line?
V'yikru gam kein zos ha-mitzvah malch l'shemayim, ki heim omrim kidei l'kabal alav malch l'shemayim.
Oh. Exactly. Right. So the Rambam explicitly says, "Yeah, this mitzvah base of Yichud Hashem. That's what Shema. That's what Kabbalah's Omach Hashemayim is all about." So again, the Rambam very clearly in the Sefer Mitzvos making it very clear against the Ramban that the focus of Kabbalah's Omach Hashemayim is not on Emunah Hashem, but is rather on Yichud Hashem. And then that last formulation that Ezra just read is also important. He says, "Rotzim lomer lehodos beyichud ulehamina." Right? What's this? What's the difference between lehodos and lehamina? Exactly. Right. Ramban. Right. Sorry. The Rambam is referencing here that this idea of yichud Hashem. Again, he just mentioned the mitzvah of Shema. Right. Because the mitzvah to be mekabel omach Hashemayim is to say it out loud, to outwardly express your belief in Yichud Hashem, and then la'amino, to also then believe. Right? An idea that we've seen, earlier, as we were discussing earlier, that it's both to declare your emunah, but a declaration which is empty of actual kavana is getting meaningless. So you have this double formulation in the Rambam when you're being mekabel omach Hashemayim. It's both the outward hoda'ah, declaration, but it's also you need that inward emunah, that inward kavana, for that outward declaration to have any significance. Oh. So the first Rambam is the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Beis, again, where the Rambam, references the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael and references the idea of Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim within the context of Yichud Hashem. The next Rambam comes from Hilchos Kriyat Shema. Right, if anyone have it? Anyone have Aleph Beis, Avram? So the Hilchos Kriyat Shema Aleph Beis, the Rambam here is really paraphrasing the Mishnah Yud Gimel, discussing the Seder of Parshios, why it is that we read the first Parsha when we do. Right, so these are the three that we read. Now he's going to get to the order. Sheish but Tzivoy al Yichud Hashem. Very important, right? This is very similar to the Mishnah Yud Gimel, right? Mishnah Yud Gimel also mentions that you have... The Mishnah, I should say, right, only mentions the fact of Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. So the Rambam, whenever you're reading a Rambam, you should always read the Rambam, right, alongside the Makoros he's coming off of, because a lot of times the Rambam will change certain words and you're trying to figure out, and you see like the Rambam is like also serving as like a perush on the Mishnah. So what phrase is the Rambam substituting for Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim? What's the phrase that he uses? Yichud Hashem. So the Rambam Lashitaso, instead of using the phrase Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim, he uses the phrase Yichud Hashem. So again, very much Rambam Lashitaso, as we know from the Sefer Mitzvos, and now in the Mishnah Torah itself. Again, for the Rambam, Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim and Yichud Hashem are synonymous, because that's what Omach HaShemayim is all about. And the Rambam adds that you have, right, the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael is the Yichud Hashem, and then the second pasuk is Avas Hashem, and then the third pasuk is Shnat Levanecha, is referring to Talmud Torah. So significant that the Rambam mentions all three. We'll get back to that later. But for our purposes right now, the fact that the Rambam substitutes the Lashon of Kabbalah's Omachus with the Lashon of Yichud Hashem is very Miduyak, especially for Rambam, Shitas HaRambam, that Kabbalah's Omachus is all about Yichud Hashem. So when I first learned this sugya, these are the two Rambams that I saw. And I was always a little bothered by, in order to ask you, which one is a bigger deal, right? The phrase Hashem Elokeinu or Hashem Echad? Which one's more fundamental, Emunah b'Hashem or Yichud Hashem? What would you say, Aliyah? Emunah. It sounds like Emunah is more fundamental. So it's always bothering me, why does the Rambam, specifically, opt to focus on Yichud Hashem when he could have gone for the more fundamental Emunah b'Hashem? And that always, was always bothering me. And then I later kind of came across, and I was learning about the mitzvah of Emunah, the Rambam Yisodei HaTorah. Right? Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, Halacha, Zayin in particular. And here the Rambam really discusses the major hashkafic implications of Yichud Hashem. And it's after seeing this Rambam that I fully understood why the Rambam continually plays up Yichud Hashem. Because Yichud Hashem for the Rambam is really a key ingredient in understanding so much about Hashem.
Isn't Yichud Hashem incorporated within Emor of Hashem?
Well, there are two different aspects, right? There are two different mitzvos.
Right, you can't, if you have a Emor of Hashem without Yichud Hashem, then it's not Emor of Hashem, especially the way the Rambam spells out.
You know, you're definitely missing, you're 100% you're definitely missing something, but I always thought, like, when I saw this machlokas Rambam, like, I don't know, I would have, like, you know, intuitively, you know, would have assumed I would have gone to the Rambans, you know, if someone to ask me if I didn't know anything, like, oh, what's the focus, Hashem Elokeinu or Hashem Echad, I probably would have said Hashem Elokeinu. So I was, like, wondering, what is driving the Rambam and the Gemara implicitly, and we'll see the Sefer Chinuch, what's driving them towards Hashem Echad? I think the answer might be in Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, where the Rambam, we'll see in a moment, really, you know, develops. There's so many, you know, hashkafic implications through truly understanding what Yichud Hashem is, at least for the Rambam. Anybody have Yisodei HaTorah out? Ben, do you have it? Anybody have, oh, anyone else? Got it, Ezra? Anyone else who has to read? Oh. Okay, Ezra, let's go first. So this is the, so a little background. This is very important just by contrast. So you look at, had you read the whole parak up until now, right? I didn't just have you jump with Zion. Halachos Aleph through Vav are talking about what inyan, Ezra? Exactly. We're talking about Emunah Bashem. So it's very important, right? Halachos Aleph through Vav, and again, Halachos Yisodei HaTorah, parak Aleph, are all about Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the Rambam specifically does not reference Shema in that context. L'shitas. It's only in Halacha Zayin, when the Rambam is talking about Yichud Hashem, that the Rambam, right, is going to mention the mitzvah of Shema. So again, another very important diuk, that it's not just, oh, he mentions it in the context of Yichud Hashem, but it's coming right after having mentioned Emunah Bashem, and the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention it there, again, just really highlights that for the Rambam, l'shitaso, Shema and Kabbalah's Omachos is really all focused on Yichud Hashem. So again, Halacha Zayin, there's a lot of philosophical stuff here. We'll try to understand it the best as we can, but we'll just get an appreciation of how important Yichud Hashem is in the Rambam's worldview. Go for it, Ezra. Right, Hashem is one, not more than one, just one. Right. Don't think of Hashem's oneness, if that's I think it's a phrase, right? In philosophical terms, right? Don't think of Hashem's oneness just like we think of other things which are one, like one body. Because one body is comprised of different parts. You have hands, you have arms, you have legs, you have a face. No, Hashem's oneness is totally one. There are no divisible parts to it. As he's about to say. Right, we can't even consider, there's no other oneness which is as one as Hashem. Right, so the Rambam, right, what is the Rambam saying here? If there were to be two different gods, so then it must be that these two different gods would have two distinct bodies, right? Because otherwise, you can't have two unless you're able to have a clear demarcation, as long as, right? You have to have a separation between the two. So if there were two gods, chas v'shalom, right? So then each of those two gods would have to have distinct bodies. And once, this is very important, and once these two gods would have body, right, physical, limited bodies, he says, v'ilu. V'ilu haya ayotzer guf v'gviya haya lokates v'tachlos she'yefshar lios guf she'en lokates. And once they had bodies, by definition, a body has a start and a finish. So that means the physical bodies of these gods would be limited. And now he says, once they're limited physically, oh, so once there's a limitation on their physical bodies, so then there's going to be also a limitation on their capabilities, their kochos, Oh. Now he says, but Elokeinu. So he's saying, but once we believe that God is all powerful, so therefore, of course, there can't be a physical body, because if there was a physical body, that means for sure there'd be a limitation. So once there are no limitations, now there is no physical body. Once there's no physical body, so then obviously there's only one God. So lefichach, as he says, lefichach. So it must be that there's only one God. So again, for the Rambam, based on this beautiful formulation of the Rambam, there being one God connotes that Hashem doesn't have a body, doesn't have any physical limitations, and therefore doesn't have any limitations at all. So for the Rambam, Yichud Hashem contains with it this very important hashkafa regarding the omnipotence, the all-powerful nature of God, which is not, and God is not limited in any way. And now for our purposes, the key line. The Rambam says, what's the makor for this Yichud Hashem? The pasuk of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Again, Rambam Lishitaso thinks that the focus of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is on the Hashem Echad piece. So based after I saw this Rambam, I now understood why the Rambam really plays up Yichud Hashem, because Yichud Hashem, right, which at first glance seems to take a back seat to Emunah b'Hashem, now we understand has all these, you know, implications, philosophical and, you know, implications regarding, you know, the kochos of Hashem. Yeah, boss.
He's saying it's very important. But once there's Yichud Hashem, then Hashem is like spirit, like his kochos are limitless, right?
Exactly.
And you need to say that Hashem is limitless because of like the world. Is that what you're saying?
You know, because we believe that Hashem is all powerful. Exactly. So once Hashem is all powerful, therefore there can't be a physical body, right? Because and once there's no physical body, that means by definition there's only one. So the Rambam is connecting this achdus, right, this oneness, this Yichud Hashem, to right, connecting the dots to establish Hashem being all-powerful.
So that's like, what's like the emphasis saying, like, since Hashem is one, therefore he's all-powerful, or is all powerful?
Yeah, once God, it goes in both directions. Okay. It goes in both directions. It goes in one direction in terms of like, just like, in terms of like proving it, but in terms of like, you know, how it flows, yeah. Once God is one, and there's no limitations to him, so therefore he's all powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have, in terms of the second mahalach, that the focus of Malchus Shemayim is on Yichud Hashem, we have the Gemara in Yud Gimel HaBeis, which is implicit, and then we have the Rambam in all these different places, Sefer Mitzvos, Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, and Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Yisodei Torah, all saying this idea. And we also have other Rishonim, and the first example of this, or after the Rambam, is the Sefer HaChinuch. Right? Anybody have the Sefer HaChinuch with them? Sefer HaChinuch in two places. Anybody? Sefer HaChinuch first in Tav. So in the future, the Chavrus should definitely try to bring more Svarim. So Sefer HaChinuch first in Tav.
You take it from the base?
What?
You mean just take it from the base?
Yeah, it's fine. Just for sure, it's fine. So Tav Yud Zayin. So the Rambam, right? This is the first Rambam I had, you see? So what is the Rambam discussing here in Tav Yud Zayin? Not Emunah b'Hashem, but Yichud Hashem. So the Rambam Tav Yud Zayin is talking about Yichud Hashem, and we're going to see. He says, "Shenitztavenu lahamin ki Hashem Yisparach hu apoel kol hametzios adon hakol echad b'li shum shituf." Right, the Rambam is one and only. And again, Sefer Chinuch says, "Shenemar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad v'zu mitzvas aseh." He right. So the Chinuch, like the Rambam, says the pasuk of Shema Yisrael is the makor for Yichud Hashem. But the Sefer HaChinuch, I should say, adds a very important nekuda in terms of how he's going to understand the pasuk. Because at first glance, the pasuk has two parts. There's Hashem Elokeinu and Hashem Echad. It sounds like these two different parts. But anyone notice the Sefer HaChinuch? Anyone remember how the Sefer HaChinuch, right, teaches that pasuk? Not Hashem Elokeinu and Hashem Echad. It's one thing. He says, Ki Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Echad Hu. So right, it's Hashem, which we already know is Elokeinu, because that's not the focus of this pasuk. Echad Hu. So the Sefer HaChinuch Lishitaso, right, since he thinks the whole focus of the pasuk is on the Echad Hu, so therefore he reinterprets the pasuk of that Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Echad Hu, that the entire focus is on the Sefer of Echad. So it's Hashem that we already know is our God, is one. Instead of saying, oh, two things here. Hashem is our God, one. Hashem is also one. Point number two. He's saying, no, it's all one point. It's all that Hashem, who is our God, is one. I mean, the emphasis is all on the Hashem Echad at the end of the pasuk. That's a very important nekuda of the Sefer Chinuch. And if you think the focus is all on Yichud Hashem, that you're going to downplay the Hashem Elokeinu as just a lead up to the Hashem Echad. So that's the Sefer Chinuch in Tav Yud Zayin. Then the Chinuch in Tav Chav. Right, what's the Rama? What's the Sefer Chinuch? Which mitzvah is the Sefer Chinuch talking about here? This is Shema. Very important. So if you look carefully, we read it yesterday to see that he's focused on Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, but today I wanted you guys to see it again to now look carefully at how he formulates Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. And he says as follows. Mishrashei ha-mitzvah, shiratza Hashem lezakos amo, to give his am, B'nai Yisrael, v'zchus, shikablu aleim malchuso v'yichudo. Right, when the Sefer Chinuch is explaining what the gather of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim is, he emphasizes what is malchuso? Yichudo, his oneness. So the Sefer Chinuch l'shitaso who Tav Yud Zayin says that the makor that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is the makor for Yichud Hashem. L'shitaso when describing Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, right, in the context of Shema, again focuses on Yichud Hashem. And then the Sefer Chinuch continues as we saw, last time. What does the Sefer Chinuch explain? Why is it so important, according to the Sefer Chinuch, to twice a day? Eliyahu, do you remember this? Why does the Sefer Chinuch say it's important twice a day to declare Ol Malchus Shemayim? Exactly. Right, so the Sefer Chinuch, like the Ramban, remember I said before, that the Ramban integrates, right, Kabbalah's old mitzvos into Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim within his Mahalach, where he says, oh, once you have Emunah b'Hashem, so therefore you have to then be Mekabel the mitzvos. Sefer Chinuch, within the Yichud Hashem approach, says, what's the value of emphasizing Yichud Hashem? The value of Yichud Hashem is that once you, think about the fact that Hashem is the one and only all-powerful God, so that will remind you to follow all the mitzvahs. Which is very important for our next sugya that both we have in the Ramban and the Sefer Chinuch, this idea that the concept of Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs is not a completely distinct din from Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's that Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos is a prat within Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Because the consequence, once you accept Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, be it the Emunah B'Hashem Ramban idea or the Yichud Hashem idea of the Rambam, a direct consequence of that is that you therefore have to now keep the mitzvos. That's going to be very important when discussing how many psukim, how many partials are midoraisa. It's going to be very important yisod that if there's this possibility that Kabbalah's old mitzvos is part of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, that is going to be a very important yisod, which is going to be very relevant. Good. In terms of the last, makor for this idea for now, that again, the second mahalach that we had in the Gemara in Yigamon Beis, we had the Rambam in different places, and the Sefer Chinuch in different places, is also the Rasag. Remember, the Rasag, right? When the Rasag describes, captures the mitzvah Kriya Shema, uses three words. But what are Ari? What are the three words that the Rasag, Rasag Yigon, uses to capture the mitzvah Kriya Shema? Right, Yachdu. What's Yachdu? Yichud Hashem. Right, and again, and Yeruchim Fisher Perlout, right, develops this idea of Yichud Hashem. But again, in the Rasag, and there are others as well, right, also the Sefer Charedim we saw in the Lacha Mishnah, also, again, focus on this Yichud Hashem. So, to sum up, right, within the Gedder of Malchus Shemayim, you have approach number one of the Ramban, that it's about Emunah B'Hashem, but then basically everyone else really focusing on the Yichud Hashem, starting with the Gemara, Rambam, Sefer Chinuch, now Rasag, and the Sefer Haredim. Fine. To conclude this topic, right, to just discuss, so that was the phrase of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. So we started with the last two words of Malchus Shemayim. But what's one word we haven't dealt with yet? What? Ol, right? What does Ol, what does Ol literally mean?
A yoke.
A yoke. A yoke of what? Not of an egg, but an animal. Actually spelled differently, right? I made that mistake in class once. But, right, yoke. An egg is with an L-K. This was O-K-E. Either way. I'm not going to forget that one. Right? So the yolk of an animal. Right? I'll change all my notes. You're right. So the yoke of an Aleph. So the big question is, this idea of ol is mentioned in both the phrase Kabbalah's ol mitzvos and in the phrase Kabbalah's ol malchus shemayim. And the question I'd like to explore for a couple minutes is, why does the Chachamim, why do the Chachamim capture these yisodos of believing in Hashem slash Yichud Hashem slash, you know, the chiyuv to keep mitzvos with this word ol? Why are we referencing, right, the yoke of an animal when describing our obligation to believe in Hashem and His oneness and the need to keep the mitzvos? What exactly is the connotation of the word ol? So, for this purposes, I had you see, right, this Rashi and Rosh Hashanah Chav Ches Amin Aleph in seemingly a random context of mitzvos lalei honas nidu, right? David, what is the concept of, what's the yisod of mitzvos lalei honas nidu? What does it literally mean? Exactly. The mitzvah, right, that when the purpose of mitzvahs is not for us to benefit from them. And therefore, what's the, that sounds like a very hashkafic idea. What's the concrete halachic nafkamina of that?
That, in a case of Isra or not, you don't have to worry about it if it's a mitzvah.
Exactly. You don't violate, right, when you use a chetza, which is asr ba'anah, for a mitzvah, the usage of that chepza, which is asr ba'anah, for a mitzvah, does not violate the isra anah. Because you might have had the havamina that, oh, you now got anah from that chepza by using it for a mitzvah. No! Comes along mitzvah's lovely hanas nidu to say, no, the purpose of mitzvahs was not for anah, and therefore it doesn't violate mitzvah's lovely hanas nidu. But the Rashi is all over Shas, we discussed this concept, but the one Rashi which uses the word ol is in Rosh Hashanah. Right? Anybody? Is this, if you didn't bring the other ones. So Mrs. Latihanas Ninu says that when you're mekayim a mitzvah with an object which is asr b'hana, you don't violate the isra hana. Because mitzvahs are not to bring a present hana. And what's, do you have a Rosh Hashanah? Or you have a question? You have a question?
Is that like the overall idea, or is that specifically for this kind of thing?
Both. What? Good. So we mean lehanas be'olam hazeh. Okay? It's a good question. There's a lot of...
That, I mean, you can't have enough.
What?
Why can you not have enough? That's an example. That,
why can you have...
An example
saying
you can't have enough.
Let's say lulav. Gemara, how do you say it? Lulav and asherah. Right? So, yeah. So... Again, lechatzchila, you're still not supposed to use it because of the factor of mius, but when you use it, you didn't violate the isra hana. So Rashi in Rosh Hashanah Chav Ches Amin Aleph, Dir Maskel Lo Lehanas Ninu. It's a very fascinating line.
Actually,
you see, yeah?
I wrote it.
Yeah, go for it. It's great. Right, this is one line. Lo Lehanos Ninu Le Yisrael. Lios Kiyumam Lehem Hana. Right, they were not given to Klal Yisrael for their hana. Ella, Ninu, right? It was rather given to them as an ol. So what do you think, according to this Rashi, what comes out of this? What is the connotation of ol based on this Rashi? What would you say, Alicia? Excellent. So the first, I think, understanding of ol is that ol connotes burden, obligation. As if to say that we don't have a choice when it comes to keeping mitzvos, when it comes to believing in Hashem. It's like an ol, it's like a yoke on the back of an animal, as where the animal doesn't have a choice. It, once the yoke is on its neck, it can only go forward. It has no, you know, option of veering left or right. So I think one mahalach, right, one connotation to why the Chachamim are using this lashon of ol is to connote this idea that when it comes to mitzvos, when it comes to belief in Hashem, when it comes to belief in Yichud Hashem, we don't have a choice. And we have to keep the mitzvos, we have to believe in Hashem, even when it's a burden, even when it's difficult. So I think that's one side of the ledger. One side of the coin is that the mashmos, the connotation of ol, is to say that we're obligated to keep the Torah and the mitzvos, even when it's burdensome, even when it's difficult, because it is an obligation that we have no choice in the matter. But I think there's also a second connotation. Can anybody think of another connotation of ol?
Is that the purpose of a yoke is you don't go right or left.
It gives you what? It gives you direction. It gives you purpose. Beautiful. Excellent. I think the other, I think these are not mutually exclusive. The other connotation, perhaps, of all, is that, yeah, on the one hand, it's an obligation. We have no choice. But on the other hand, we also have to view our emunah b'Hashem and our, you know, obligations to keep mitzvos, that those mitzvos give our lives direction and purpose. Just like, right, the yoke channels, right, the extreme power of the animal, right? If the animal was left to its devices, it would go around and destroy things left and right and trample and gore. What does the yoke do? Yoke channels the kochos of that animal and makes it constructive, makes it productive by giving it direction and purpose. And that's another aspect to our, you know, perspective on mitzvos, is that we're supposed to view that, right, emunah and mitzvos give our lives purpose and meaning, that when we live a life by adhering to mitzvos, that is the ideal way for us to live our life. Right, Hashem is the one who created the world, created us, is giving us the blueprint. What's the way to maximize our life? So just to conclude the Akdama, I'll take you in a second. So this, again, so while Kabbalah, right, while Malchus Shemayim can either mean Emuna or Yichud Hashem, the term Ol has both of these connotations, both that mitzvos have to be kept even when they're burdensome, even when they're difficult. But on the other hand, to also view on the flip side, that they also, while they can be burdensome, we also have to realize the positive side of it is that they give our life meaning and purpose and direction. Yes, so I love it.
That also would help us understand how the Chinuch uses terminology like Kriya Shema is Zachos as Yisrael.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Excellent. Right? That, yeah, it's a way to look at all mitzvos as, you know, it's for our benefit. Even at times, it might seem difficult, it might seem like an ol, but the flip side is that it's also an ol in terms of being mizakeas. Beautiful. Excellent. Okay. Adkan, you know, the Hakdama. Now let's move on to the second sugya, which is Kriyat Shema Mida Oraisa, or Mida Rabbanan. We're going to see there's going to be a lot of overlap. A lot of these sodos that came out of that out of our Hakdama are going to really help inform the range of shitos within this sugya, and that's why we started with the Hakdama, because it really sheds light on a lot of the details of the mitzvah, as a good Hakdama should. So let's jump right in to the sugya of whether Kriyat Shema is Midaraisa or Midraba. So we're going to start off with the less common mahalach, which is that Kriyat Shema is Midraba. Right? This is not the way we paskin, but it's important to note that there are several mekoros which highlight that Kriyat Shema is only midrabana. Just point out, according to this mahalach, that Kriyat Shema is midrabana, it's going to say that although the concepts involved in Kriyat Shema of Yichud Hashem, Emunah Hashem, / Talmud Torah, while all those concepts are midoraisa, this mahalach is going to say, but the obligation to twice daily recite the psukim of Kriyat Shema, and which highlight those concepts, that's only midrabanan. So again, the first mahalach of Kriyat Shema midrabanan is not going to say that all the themes of Kriyat Shema midrabanan. Obviously not. Talmud Torah, according to that approach, is clearly deraisa. Emunah b'Hashem is clearly deraisa. Yichud Hashem is clearly deraisa. All this mahalach is going to say, but the obligation to recite Kriyat Shema twice daily to highlight those themes, that is midrabanan. Okay, that's an important hakdama. So who is the shita in the Gemara which explicitly says that, or seemingly explicitly says, that Kriyat Shema is only midrabanan? Shmuel. Shmuel, exactly. So this is Shmuel and Chaval of Amun Aleph. Again, we've read this a couple times. And sometimes it's good to revisit Gemaras that we've seen. You know, as we know, sometimes Rishonim or Gemaras have a lot of different things going on. So if you look at them, you know, from one context, oh, Kabbalah Shel Malchus Shemayim versus Talmud Torah, right? It's important to then re-look at them when you're doing another sugya to see, oh, what is that Gemara, you know, what does that Gemara, you know, prove about the, let's say, Doraisa or Midrabanan? So let's like reread that quickly. Right, this is the Shita of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Aaron, do you have it?
Yes.
Chaval from Aleph?
Amar Yehuda, Savik Kara Krishma, Savik O Kara, Eno Kozer Kare. Savik Amar Amasiyatis, Savik O Amar Kozer. Now do Amar Amasiyatis.
Right, so Savik Kriyat Shema Lakula, Savik Birchos Kriyat Shema Lachum. So what does the Gemara say?
My time out, what's the verse? Kriyat Shema Derabanan, Amasiyatis, Derabanan.
Right, the simple pshat is that Kriyat Shema is only Midrabanan. And Emes Miatza Birchos Kriyat Shema is Daraisa. Oh, it comes on the Gemara to ask. Right. So, how can you say that Kriyat Shema is Midrabanan Shmuel / Rabbi Yehuda? There's a beferish pasuk. There's a beferish pasuk which is the Dibartaban Bishach B'chav Kumecha. You have to recite this twice a day. So, what is the Abaye answer? And what's the pashshat of that Gemara? What's Bishach B'chav Kumecha referring to? That is the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Yeah. So again, in contrast to Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shai Azariah, the simple pshat in Shmuel, in Rabbi Yehuda, is that Kriyat Shema is only Midrabanan. What about the Pasuk? The Pasuk is talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So again, while Rabbeinu Yonah and Shai Azariah have a different read in this Gemara, it's important to just remember the pashat of the Gemara is that Shmuel really holds that Kriyat Shema is only Midrabanan. That's what the Gemara says. Oh, okay, so it's Midrabanan. There's a Pasuk. Gemara answers that Pasuk is talking about a different mitzvah of Talmud Torah, not the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Which Rishon on the Daf makes it very clear, clearly understand Shmuel Kepashas as only being Midrabanan?
I'm sorry.
Tosos. Excellent. A little Tosos. Dear Maschola, who be Divrei Torah? Right? Anybody? No, go for it, Ariel. Is it?
Exactly.
So what is Tosas? What Tosas implicit kasha? How can you say
what about the Gemara in the first half that Bishav Kol Kamecha
is clearly referring to? Exactly. So Tosas says, how can the Gemara say that Hahu B'Divrei Torah is referring to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and not the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? The Gemara Daf Beis clearly cites Bishav Kol Kamecha, right, for Kriyat Shema. Answer is, that's an asmachta. So Tosos is clearly clear from that question, and the answer that Tosos disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah and understands Shmuel Kepashtus as that Kriyat Shema is really Midrabanan, and therefore the Gemara and Daf Beis, which we'll read inside in a second, which cites Shach Lachav Kumecha in the context of Kriyat Shema, must only be an asmachta according to Tosos. Yeah.
So is there any reason it didn't mention all the other drashas?
I guess because this is a Shach Lachav Kumecha.
Right?
I think it's because the Gemara here cites B'shach B'chav Kumecha, and that Gemara in Daf Beis is the one that talks about B'shach B'chav Kumecha. Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah, you're right. You can ask all the drushers. And your Gimel, truth is, you could have probably asked about, you know, the Mishnah of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel was also arguing about B'shach B'chav Kumecha, but you could have, because that is also B'shach B'chav Kumecha. You could have asked that too. But yeah, presumably he's going to say that all of them are asmachtas. Yeah.
In the Agostum, they say that the Rishash says that the Tosus is referring to Bisham as well.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I didn't notice that. And then? Okay, that's interesting. Interesting. Yeah, that he's really asking. I guess the benefit of that is because you're asking from a. Why would you ask from a Gemara if you can ask from a Mishnah? I guess that's the reason.
There's not really a question of really referring to Talmud Torah, but.
The Chachamim use Shach B'chav Kumecha as an asmachta for Kriyat Shema. And again, this gets into the role of, you guys familiar with the different perspectives on asmachta. Famous machlokas Rambam and the Ritva. Anybody familiar with this? Mm-hmm. About whether asmachta, like the Rambam says, it's just it's like a device to remember. There's no significance to the pasuk. It's just the Chachamim put the Din D'Rabbanan on the pasuk so you remember it better. But the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah says, no. There's much more significance to an asmachta. That an asmachta is that the Torah is hinting to the Chachamim to be metaking this Din D'Rabbanan. If you take that Ritva approach, that there's a significance to the asmachta, that the pasuk itself is hinting to the Din D'Rabbanan, so then there has to be a significant, even if you say that's a smachta, there has to be a significant connection between the Din D'Rabbanan and the words of the pasuk that it's being connected to. That's very important. Therefore, even according to Tosos, that Bishach B'chav Kumecha within Shmuel, right, Midoraisa is referring to Talmud Torah, but Midrabbanan, the Chachamim, put the mitzvah Kriyat Shema as an asmachta on those words, that still means that there is some significance to that connection. That's important. That even if Kriyat Shema is Midrabanan, the fact that they made an asmachta and put it specifically in the words of B'shach B'chav Kumecha, which have to do with Talmud Torah, there's a significance to that. So that all is going to come back to our Akdama. If you think that the mitzvah Midrabanan is Midin Talmud Torah, you for sure understand why they would attach it to the Pesukim of Shachvach of Kamecha, which are about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But and even if you think that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Midrabanan is about Kabbalah's Omachos Shemayim, the significance of connecting that to the pasuk about Talmud Torah, again, it's to be Megala that Talmud Torah is all about developing a relationship with Hashem, you know, like Kabbalah's Omachos Shemayim, as we discussed. That's just the nekuda to add that even according to Tosfos, that it's an asmachta, you still have to understand that there's still going to be significance to why the Chachamim chose the pasuk of Divrei Torah to as the asmachta. So either that's to highlight that, oh, maybe the geder of the mitzvah Drabanan is all about Midin Talmud Torah, according to the first approach in the Akdama, or you can say, no, even if it's Midin, you know, Kabbalah's Omachos Shemayim, again, the Chachamim wanted to connect, you know, Kabbalah's Omachos Shemayim to Talmud Torah, to be Megala that on the Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah is not just a Hechatimsa to know the Halacha, but it's about developing a relationship with Hashem. That's a nekuda. Good. So the first, again, the first makor for Kriya Shema being Mitzvah is the Shita of Shmuel and Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Oh. The next makor for it is not in our girsa, but another girsa on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph earlier on in the Amud. So Rashi and Tosas both have this, right? Where, again, when the Gemara is asking, why isn't there a Chiyav Hirur by Tzvila? So Rashi and Tosas have this alternative girsa to explain the chilik between Tzvila, which doesn't have hearer, and Birchas HaMazon and Kriyat Shema, which do. Shimon, do you have it? You see Rashi and Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph? The Dira Maskel Hachi Garcinan, it's like Tort. In my Gemara, it's like right next to Agos HaBach in Rashi. The Ista Garci Hacha.
Rashi?
See Rashi, and it says the Ista Garci Hacha, Belashon Kushya. Right, so the alternative gear says, what do you mean tzvila is different because it's Rabbanan? Kriya Shema is also needs Rabbanan. What's the Gemara's answer according to this? Oh, so what's the chilek? Kriya Shema, even though it's needs Rabbanan, right, it gets hearer because Malchus Shemayim. Birchas HaMazon gets it, even though it doesn't have Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, it's Deoraisa, Lafuke Tzvila, which is like, you know, Tartla Reisa. It's both Dirabanan, Ein Ba, and Ein Ba Malchus Shemayim. So according to this Girsa, right, according to this Girsa, the Gemara is saying, even the Maskana, that Kriyat Shema is Mi Dirabanan. That's very important. According to this alternative Girsa, you have a Stam Gemara here, which is assuming that Kriyat Shema is Mi Dirabanan. Right? So you have Shmuel, and on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and then you have, according to the alternative Girsa in the Gemara, you have a Stam Gemara on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, also assuming that Kriyat Shema is only Midrabanan. Now let's look, as the third potential makor, back to Beis Amud Aleph, right? The first Gemara in Shas. So at first glance, the opening Gemara on Beis Amud Aleph does not seem to be talking about this issue of Kriyat Shema Daraisa Dirabanan. But the Pnei Yeshua is going to have a bunch of kashas on the Gemara, which he's going to answer by connecting it to this sugya. So let's quickly, we read this before. So David, do you have Beis Amud Aleph? All right, the famous Gemara asks two kashas on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah right away starts talking about what's the zman of Kriyat Shema. Right? So the Gemara asks two questions. First asks, Tana hecha kai to katani mitzvah. Right? How do we know about the chiyav to begin with that you start talking about? Right? This man. Vesu.
Su maishna katani be'arvis bereisha. This means the shachris bereisha.
Right? Why start with arvis? Start with shachris. So the first answer is
Tana akrei kai tichsev b'shach b'chabat mecha be'achik katani. Zman kriya shma d'shkiva imas b'shach shakon mechnasim nachabat shemasim.
So first answer, oh, b'shach b'chav k'macha, right, that's the makor that the Mishnah is coming off of, and that also explains the order. Ibais ema.
Yalif mibriyasa shalom, d'chsiv v'yayir v'yayir boker yom echad.
Right, answering at least the order question and saying, oh, it comes from the pasuk v'yayir v'yayir boker yom echad. So Pnei Yeshua asks a bunch of questions. I'm not going to read inside because we don't have time. Pnei Yeshua asks, number one, isn't the answer of b'shach b'chav k'macha so obvious? So what is the Gemara asking, number one? What is the Gemara even asking? You know, where's the Chiyuv mentioned? Everyone in the world knows it's B'shach B'chav Kumecha. So question number one that the Pnei Yehoshua asks is that, what's the Havamina of the Gemara to even ask about? Of course it's B'shach B'chav Kumecha. And the second question is, once the first answer is so obvious, what's the need for the second answer? What's the need for Vayera Vayiboker? It's such a clear... I mean, why come on to the general idea of Vayera Vayiboker Yom Echad? B'shach B'chav Kumecha is clear as day. No pun intended. Right? So, question, what's the Havamina of the question? And what's the need for the second answer? So how did the Pnei Yehoshua answer both of those? What's his answer, Alicia? Do you remember?
The second answer is that's holding the Sinai Rabbanan.
Excellent. So says the Pnei Yehoshua, both the question of the Gemara and the Havamina and the second answer are holding that Kriyat Shema is only Mitzvah Rabbanan. So according to Pnei Yehoshua, you have yet another Stam Gemara, right? At least, which at certain points in the Havamina and in the second Dayak, holding that Kriyat Shema is Midr Rabbanan, while the first day is holding that Kriyat Shema is Midoraisa. So according to the Pnei Yehoshua, right, even within this initial Shach of Atariah of the Gemara, you had these two deos about whether Kriyat Shema is Midr Rabbanan or Midoraisa. So far, in terms of this Shita of Kriyat Shema being Midr Rabbanan, you have the Shmuel on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the alternative Girsa on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, now you have certain deos on the Gemara on Beis Amud Aleph, at least according to the Pnei Yehoshua. In the 2 minutes we have left, let's just quickly look at two other Gemaras, which according to the Rishonim, also show that Kriyat Shema is Mitzvah Rabbanan. Next one is the Gemara in Menachos, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So the Braisa here, you know, we're short on time, I'll just read it. The Gemara in Menachos is trying to understand what are the words of Risem Oso Uzchartem, that when you look at the tzitzis, you're going to remember. You're going to remember what? So the Braisa in Menachos says, Risem Oso Uzchartem, Re'ei Mitzvah Zu, you're going to look at this mitzvah, tzitzis, Uzchur Mitzvah Acheres Atzuliyaba. You're going to remember another mitzvah. Izo zu, which other mitzvah? Zu Kriyat Shema. It's referring to Kriyat Shema, as Rashi explains, because once you can tell the difference between the tchilis and the white, you're going to know it's Zman Kriyat Shema. And what does Tosos on the spot say? It's a smachta. Tosos says, don't take this as a drasha gemura. Why not? Because Kriyat Shema is only midrash. So Tosos in Menachos there, again, is very clear, very clearly holding there, that Kriyat Shema is only mi Zerubbanan. And the last makor is other Balei Tosos. We saw this yesterday from the perspective of Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. But again, the Tosos Rush and Tosos Rabbeinu Yehuda, again, reinterpret which Shita in the Gemara is the Tosos Rush reinterpreting in a Mechudosh fashion, Yehuda? Exactly. Rav Elazar, right? What is the Shita? Wait, what's the Pesach of Rav Elazar? Exactly. A team. What's the Shita of Rav Elazar? Suffolk lechumra. So Pash Pshad is because Suffolk derives lechumra. Comes along Tosar Rush and Tosar Rabbeinu Yehuda says no. Even if they hold that Kriyat Shema, no, really they hold the Kriyat Shema is Midr Rabbanan. But why are they machmir? Why is Rabbi Elazar machmir? Because of Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim. So these Bali Tosas, Tosar Rush and Tosar Rabbeinu Yehuda are saying even the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, right? Even the Shita on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, which seems to be Doraisa, even that's Midr Rabbanan. According to Tosar Rush, both Rabbi Eliezer and the Shmuel both hold that Kriyat Shema is Midr Rabbanan, and their only machlokes is whether the factor of Kabbalah's Omach HaShemayim grants the mitzvah Midr Rabbanan added Chomer to Paskin Safek LeChomer. We're officially going to stop here, so everyone can start going, and I'll answer Ari's question. Yeah.